Jeff, Jeff, Jeff. Jeff, 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 Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff, Jeff, Jeff.
Jeff Stein is our national and presidential expert. You can know, find his books over at Next Chapter Books, as well as also totallyiowa.com. Of course, the Iowa Business Reports is daily show down there, and the Iowa Politics Report comes to us from KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hi, Jeff.
Matthew, back on Wednesday. Great to talk to you, sir.
I got to imagine it throws me off when I have you on a Thursday. We've talked for Wednesdays for so many years now. It throws me off when I have you on a Thursday. We came back last week.
I've been off track ever since. And it had nothing to do with the holiday. It had to do with talking to you on Thursday.
Well, there you go. Let's talk the holiday, because, of course, obviously, 2 days after Independence Day, we had the 6th anniversary of the attack on the Capitol. And, you know, what's interesting is this. I mean, we do have a lot of arrests. I mean, we're over 500 arrests. I think there have been 10 people who have pled guilty, and it seems like most of the people that have pled guilty right now at this point are people that basically wandered into the building. They didn't break anything. They didn't, you know, they just kind of went through an open doorway that was already opened, walked in the building, and then didn't attack a cop, didn't violate anything, didn't do anything with feces, and then turned around and walked back out of the building. And, you know, they're charging with trespassing, and it's pretty cut and dry. But they're letting them go with community service. So those are the people that mainly have been able to plead not guilty yet. A lot of people are it's becoming a little more interesting with the Proud Boys, because now we have they infiltrated this communications network that they had been using, discovered that there was actually stockpiles of weapons at Virginia to avoid the gun laws in Washington, D.C. They stockpiled some weapons at Virginia hotels in case they needed them. And even stuff like there is a Lego version of the Capitol one of them had that they were using for planning, which is kind of bizarre. But, well, I mean, it's not bizarre.
Think of just how complicated and how deep intelligent this was. I know, let's make a Lego Capitol. We'll make a full-scale model. We'll even have guys in red hats hanging on the side. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well,
can't make this up.
As ludicrous as it is, they did have a pretty good game plan of where they were going when they got in the building.
There's
obviously the question here is where does this go? And now you've got the House they're going to have their own investigation, and they're not going to – I don't think it's going to be pretty. I think they're going to actually go after people at this. The reality is that, I mean, the people that went and stormed the Capitol, if they're expecting a pardon, that's not coming from anyone, at least not for a few years. And the reality is that a lot of these people are going to go to jail, and they're going to go to jail for a long time. Do you think that that's enough of a deterrent to say to the people, you know what, you better think about trying to do something this boneheaded again?
Oh, you know, if you believe that you were answering the call of your fearless leader, then you're going to justify the behavior, and you're going to justify your treatment, the treatment of you by the court system, as being wrong. And so there are going to be a lot of people who are going to be in the position of being a martyr to others. So the direct answer to your question, do I think this will be a deterrent? The answer is no. What we have seen so far from these folks on the right is they're saying, well, now, wait a minute. What about all these people burning cities down last summer? You didn't do anything to them. Well, here's the answer. Two wrongs don't make a right.
Well, actually, we have. And before you say anything here, in Minneapolis, we've actually charged quite a few people with arson. And by the way, funny story, most of them are not from the city of Minneapolis. They came from outstate Minnesota, out of the state. But we've actually charged, and people have been prosecuted and are facing jail time now because of this. So that's actually a misnomer.
Well, now, I'm not just talking about Minneapolis. I'm talking about the other cities, the Pacific Northwest, et cetera. But again, facts don't get in, you know, you don't want to let facts get in the way of a good narrative.
Yes.
But my basic point is, I don't care what the other side did, quote unquote, the other side. If you violated the law, you're being prosecuted. Now, you may say it's unfair. Well, I'm not sure what's unfair. It's a different district. It's a different charging authority. It's, wait a minute, the entire United States Capitol. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the martyr part of this, Matt, is these people who are saying, well, look how badly we're being treated. Well, what if you weren't wearing red hats and you were wearing other color hats? Would you think the treatment would be appropriate? And if you say, well, yeah, I got to lock those people up. Okay, then. You know, I mean, I think the problem is everything is becoming comparative or relative to each other as opposed to the legal standard. And that's the big issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can say consistently that the people in Washington who went to the Capitol, they need to be arrested. You can also say that other people should have been arrested, but that doesn't let the one off. I mean, it's the same thing as this whatever her name, Maxwell, who was hung up with Jeffrey Epstein, yeah, saying, well, since Bill Cosby got let out of prison, I ought to be. But, okay, really? I'm not really sure how the legalistics tie together on that, unless it was a Pennsylvania state prosecutor making the arrangement. Yeah. All right, so you just each thing has to be taken in and of itself. But to your broader point, you know, we thought we had security at a place like the U.S. Capitol. I haven't been there for a very long time, but I sure seem to recall there being security.
Oh, yeah.
So therefore, how did, and this is your point, how did people get to have such a great working knowledge? Now, I made sport of the Lego thing, but the bottom line is there were working models. Somebody had
to maps. Know. There were maps. Remember that? Some guy had a maps of all the secure areas underneath the building. It's like, how in the heck do you get the maps of the secure areas? But they had them.
And so that's where it needs to go, is
yeah.
How did this happen? And you and I have said this, I think, consistently all along. I don't give two hoops about the individuals. I care about how do we make sure this doesn't happen again. How did it happen? What was not in place, you know, in terms of an institutional framework of policing, et cetera? And how do you make sure it doesn't happen again?
And if
I saw something, by the way, before I forget it, because I'm scattered today and I'll just say things. Apparently, the U.S. Capitol Police is establishing branch agencies for the first time, one in Florida, one in California. And some on the right are saying, well, why would you need that? There's no Capitol there. The members of Congress are, you know, I mean, of all people who have a target on them.
Yes.
And so, I you know, the fact that the Law and Order Party would say, well, I don't know why we need to have, you know, a U.S. Capitol Bureau in California. I can tell you, let's see, the speaker is there, the minority leader is from there, the vice president is from, I don't know, I can come up with some reasons pretty quickly.
One thing I think we both would add to that, if it's discovered there was an intent, if there was an intent to that day, that there was a goal to that day that was being cultivated by people in the power, that needs to be investigated as well. I will say, and going back to your point about security, when Black Lives Matter rallied in Washington, D.C., That the year beforehand, I believe it was, the entire Washington, D.C. looked like a military fortress because they hadn't. And this is part of the problem that I think needs to be answered is how in the world does Black Lives Matter come into town and you have troops stationed on every step of the Lincoln Memorial like it's some dystopian 1984 novel? And yet when you've got this going on and clearly the Capitol Police at points were saying, we need help here. And the powers that be, the Defense Department and stuff like that, were saying, no, we're not going to do that. Well, there does seem to be – I think you have to kind of look at that. I want to get into Mo Brooks, though, because this story is getting a little bit buried, and I'm a little surprised by that. Brooks,
okay.
Brooks of course, got sued by Swalwell? Who sued him?
Yeah.
Representative Swalwell sued him. He is put in his initial briefing on his defense, and his initial briefing – is a little interesting to say that very Nuremberg trial, if you want to know the truth, is that he says, sure, I incited the crowd, but I was told to do so by Trump and the White House. And that's and that's his argument. And I'm like, well, now that changes things. I've been surprised that that has been downplayed, but you're more of a legal mind here. Isn't that sort of saying, well, the person you need to talk to about who incited this crowd is actually Donald Trump and the White House administration?
Didn't we laugh at the people who stormed the Capitol who said, I expect a pardon from Trump because he told me to be here, and who based their whole defense on Donald Trump made me do it?
Yep.
We laughed at those people.
Yeah.
So now a member of Congress is using the exact same defense, which is no defense. I mean, there has to be this, by the way, there have been some folks on the right who have been saying, did you know? And they always say it in a hushed tone. Did you know the FBI was infiltrating groups
really?
And they were encouraging the riot at the Capitol, so it's all the FBI's fault. No, that's not entrapment. This is me, the lawyer, talking. Entrapment is when I force you to do something that you would not otherwise do of your own free will. And so simply saying, hey, let's go storm the Capitol, if you go, great, let me go bring my arsenal, that's not entrapment. Well, the same thing here. If a congressman says, well, I'm not guilty of anything because the president told me to do it. What, in his role as commander-in-chief, where's your uniform? It's just ludicrous. It was ludicrous when it's a guy in painted costume running into the Capitol.
Yes.
It's even more ludicrous to some degree when it's a member of Congress who I used to think we held those people in higher regard. I'm reevaluating.
Well, and what's interesting about this is if it's true. If what he is saying is, no, here are my and what if we get to this point where all of a sudden he said, well, here's the email I got from him. Here's all the talking points I had. Storm the Capitol, march on them, get Mike Pence, it's like, oh, my God, if you get something. And let's face it, that White House was not that smart. I would not put it past him. If you have something like that, that changes the dynamic of this whole thing dramatically to where now we are getting into a far more. I mean, and I know every Republican, most Republicans in the House will scream, never, there was no problem here. But the reality is, if you get to a point where you actually have some evidence that actually implicates, though the White House wanted us to take that crowd, use it as a weapon, point it at the Capitol, and we did. Well, now that's not something you can just brush aside and just say, maybe we need to look at security protocol issues.
You and I have talked previously about the Trump Organization and the tax charges, et cetera, and plausible deniability, and how often the CEO of a business is removed from such things because they may suggest that things be taken care of, but again, they don't want to know the details, so they have that quote-unquote plausible deniability. It is much harder when it is a branch of the federal government, namely the executive branch of the federal government. And it's a lot harder then for those underlings, if that were the case, to say, oh, well, we went forth with this, but no, the president didn't know anything about it. Because, again, of the statements that he himself made at one point or another. Mm-hmm. And, again, if you believe the leaks about what he said to Mike Pence about encouraging Pence to violate his own oath by not accepting the Electoral College votes, well, again, you just start adding things up. The trick is going to be definitive evidence other than subtle encouragement, mm-hmm. or not so subtle encouragement. There's a leap that has to be made. But if you can make that leap, and again, it's to your point about the commission or these investigations, if you can show some kind of connection between a sitting member of Congress and somebody who had a map to secure areas, ooh, that's game over on all of this.
Yeah. One final thing I want to ask you. Now, I know you generally try your best to go middle of the road. You do work at a radio station that does kind of delve more into the right wing side of things. And mm-hmm. I want to ask you a question about Ashley Babbitt. Now, this is the one woman that was shot at the Capitol as she tried to break into the U.S. House. And it should be noted, I mean, the narrative that the right has tried to paint this woman at, that she was just some misunderstood constituent trying to go up there and give a list of grievances to the House saying, boy, I wish you'd fix this. She was part of a crowd that bashed through a window. Now, at the point where this happened, it should be noted, there were still representatives in the House trying to get out of the U.S. House and down into the safe rooms. So there were sitting Congress people who were there trying to evacuate and keep safe as they had barricaded, and the doors were barricaded, which should be your first sign they don't want you in there. It is. They busted a window. She didn't walk through some, subway front door, for goodness sake. She was climbed through a window. She was warned not to go through. She got shot because she tried to breach the U.S. House. But yet today, it seems that there's a desperate attempt to turn this traitorous, horrible human being into some sort of misunderstood anti-hero. Do you have any idea why the right is so determined to take this insurrectionist and turn her into something that she really is not?
I'm going to answer the question without accepting the full premise, all right? Because I don't have enough direct information on every bit of it.
Go watch the New York Times. Go watch the New York Times video. It will explain this whole thing. No, everything I said is legit. There.
Okay, well, I don't know that she's a horrible human being. What I'm saying,
as a veteran of the U.S. military, she's a horrible human being. I'll say
Okay. Now, and I respect that, but I mean, to your, I don't want to get into the very specifics of it because I am not as well schooled on it. All right, but here's what I will say in direct answer to your question about why is she being held up. She was a veteran. She was a female, and she looks a lot different that day in attire and demeanor, et cetera, as opposed to people, you know, wearing fur and carrying podiums out. In other words, if you need a poster child for innocence, she's a lot better, relatively speaking, than, you know, somebody who's got his feet up on Nancy Pelosi's desk. Okay, so, and the fact that she was the only one who was shot and killed. Not the only one who died as a result of the day, but she was the only one shot and killed. And for reasons that I think are pretty obvious, the Capitol Police has been pretty good about keeping the identity of the individual who fired their weapon and which wound up killing her. They've kept that confidential, although I understand there may have been an inadvertent leak yesterday in some testimony. So to your question, why are they getting behind her? She's an awful lot better image to construct and twist and get behind than some of the other chuckleheads.
She was trying to climb through a busted window that she and her crew busted through on a barricaded door to go after Congress people that were still in the U.S. House. At the end of the day, there is no, that is nothing brave. That is nothing to be honored. She was, in my mind, I'm frankly, as a military person, our Capitol was being attacked. Yeah. I'm kind of wondering why more shots weren't fired on these people, because the reality is this was not just some tourist group, as that Georgia clown put forward.
It's not a tourist group. And to your point, that's such an excellent point. The fact that there were not any more bullets than there were. Yeah, that really is an amazing amount of restraint, is it not?
And too much, personally, if you ask me, as a military guy. We're going to come on back. Let's talk about Trump's lawsuit against the social media sites, which is pretty dang hilarious. Jeff Stein joins us, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff, I should mention, Joe Biden seems to be right now refocusing on the Delta variant. I'm getting a little concerned about that. But right now, that seems to be kind of his main focus, is trying to get people vaccinated, especially in these states where they have not been. I talked about that a little bit earlier with the news that Jim Hagedorn, his kidney cancer, Minnesota One, his kidney cancer has returned. And obviously, we were concerned about coronavirus with him. So we did touch on that earlier. So I did want to go over to Trump. He's suing Facebook, Google, and Twitter. His argument basically hinges on something that's, it seems pretty laughable. The idea that those are technically not private companies, that because they think they might have coordinated with someone from, I'm guessing, the Democratic side in Congress, that they henceforth no longer have private business stance, that they are actually a branch of the government and henceforth should be held to the same standard. Have you perused the lawsuit at all?
No, I have a life.
Yeah,
but
not
I will.
Really.
Notice the Federal Trade Commission tried to sue Facebook for monopolistic practices, and that lawsuit was thrown out as not having appropriate levels of legal standing. Okay, so this lawsuit, by the way, has nothing to do about winning. This is only in the court of public opinion. This is only in his supporters' realm. He holds a quote-unquote news conference. He says he's going to file the lawsuit. I don't know that it actually was filed yet, all right, to be honest with you. I kept seeing phrases like going to file. First, we heard he was going to have his own social media platform, and he hasn't. Then his one of his top advisors came up with his own social media platform, which basically is taking Twitter and just painting it red instead of blue. I mean, literally, that's the only distinction. So there's going to be a lawsuit there. He cannot fight them with his own. So now he's saying, well, I'm going to sue them because they're keeping me off these platforms. And it's not for me. I'm just the biggest target. So he can't fight them in terms of apples versus apples. So he's going to go over here and then just sue them. And it doesn't have to be meritorious. because he's already won, Matt, in terms of his own people who are showing up at his rallies and who are driving everybody else out of the 2024 race.
Well, and it does show that the importance for him of Newsmax and OAN, not necessarily Fox, although Fox, they're kind of goading Fox into covering him more. But the reality is that he needs those news outlets to really talk to that base that does adore him. And he does know how to play those people like a fiddle.
Well, it's obviously worked. It worked during his career as a business person. I didn't want to say owner because it was all mortgaged to the hilt, but as an entertainer and then as a politician. So, again, his playbook has worked. He needs an enemy. Remember this? We've talked about this for years with him.
Mm-hmm.
It was Rosie O'Donnell. It was every other Republican during a primary. He calls names. He needs an enemy. And this is now his enemy. His enemy is big tech. And the money's going to keep rolling in.
It will be interesting. I do believe you're right. I think that the reports are he's going to file a lawsuit. I just checked that. It does not look like he's actually filed it yet. And that might be right. Because of the law firm that he's hired. That's an interesting story itself. We'll have to talk about that another day. Jeff Stein, once again, we'll do the Iowa Politics Report. We'll get that posted a little bit later on. We'll spotlight this interview as well. And, of course, once again, find his books at Next Chapter Books. Jeff, we'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Be well, sir.
Take care.